Elisha, all the things that he did in his life. You guys heard about Elisha. You know, he soaked walks in the Spirit. It's an amazing thing to look at his life, how he walked in the Spirit. Well, two of the kings in the 2 Kings chapter 3, one of them was kind of a bad King Jehoram of Israel. He didn't have God too much. And then, of course, you have Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he wasn't in favor with the Lord. And these two go out to battle against Moab, and they kind of run into some trouble, and they decide to inquire of Elisha the prophet. That's what they did in those days. They would look to the prophet to hear from the word of the Lord, right? And so in verse 14, it says, and Elisha said, as the Lord posts this, before whom I stand, surely it would, if it were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. He did not really want to deal with Jehoram, because Jehoram was an idol worshiper, not really doing what he was supposed to do, but he respected Jehoshaphat. And so he's going to ask the Lord to guide them. So this is what he does in verse 15. But now bring me a musician, says there. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You guys know we put big emphasis on our worship. Our worship team does such a great job for us. There's something that happens when you worship the Lord. He begins to speak, and he puts you into that place where you can hear from the Lord. And the Lord speaks, and it works perfectly. And it all has to do with worship. It's really cool. So that's why we're going to worship this morning. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor you shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you may drink, and you and your cattle and your animals may drink. That was the word of the Lord. And I really like that. Elisha himself, the guy that's so walked in the Spirit, even wanted to have worship so they could hear from the Lord. So, and I like that too, because he wasn't a musician. Had to have musicians. So this morning, Miss Kim is standing here next to me. They're our guests this morning. She's going to lead us in worship this morning. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time, and we do want to worship you in this spirit and truth. Lord, it does take us into your presence, gives you praise that you're so worthy of. And then, of course, Lord, it prepares our heart to hear from your word that you want to hear to you this morning so much so. Bless this morning. Bless our time. Fill us with this year. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I will worship you, Lord.
Thank you. Name it is. nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He did want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What a suffering for us now. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. Silence the host of sin and grace. Heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, silence the host of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Take my heart, make it whole. Take my life, make it yours. Take my mind, make it new. Set my eyes upon you. Told that I am my surrender. Jesus, your love is greater. All of the earth and its treasures, my all is yours, is yours. Take my heart.
Just ready for the word, I think it makes us ready for service too. And so I wanted to do a few quick announcements how we can serve the Lord. So obviously our Easter service coming up, you guys keep in prayer. It's a special time of year where we get a lot of people that don't come to church normally throughout the year. They'll come on Easter, so keep that in prayer that we can do a good job. People come and stuff. Okay, so that's the 16th. We're going to have our fellowship meal too. But you can write in your bulletin, April 6th, we have a team of believers coming down from Tower Chapel, Aurora, Colorado. And it's kind of interesting, they're friends of the Rickers, so one of them is. So they're going to come and they're going to be working on one of their, one of the team's mom and dad's house. I went over and visited the house. They asked me to look at it. It's right over there on Manson. Blocks in the church, and it is just really in bad shape. I was kind of broken when I seen that. So, if you would like to participate in helping them kind of get their house back where they can actually live in it, so that's what they're coming for. They're going to come hang out in Calgary. They're going to stay here in the church. So, that's an opportunity to serve there too. That's six, and I think they're staying maybe 4 or 5 days. I'm not sure exactly how long they're staying. Okay, and then April 12th, we've been trying to figure out some kind of an outreach to maybe minister to the kids that go to high school here. I think a lot of them go right by here on the way to high school. So on the 12th, we are going to serve them a free breakfast. So I have to find out exactly what time high school starts. I think it's probably like 8 or something. So we're going to be here, checking here like by 7, ready with food for these guys. And it's going to be June Marie Elliott Stepanowski. And she's going to be cooking, and I'll be here helping. And so if you want to come, and we're just basically going to, any kids come, we'll see, you know, step of faith, and just say, hey, how can we pray for you? Here's your food, how can we pray for you? That's really what we're going to try to do. So we're just going to try that out. That's the 12th. Okay? So, opportunities to serve there. And also, you guys can remember, in week study, we're still going through Judges chapter 15 and Samson on Wednesday last night. This is wonderful. Psalm. Psalm 110, 111, too, but tonight at 6. Okay, so, special guest speaker, my brother, Pastor Jerry, is here, and I just think of him as being 15. That's when I first met him. He was 15. I'd still think of him as a young kid, but now he's not here, so kind of. Jerry was our pastor. Pastor Jerry took over County Chapel, Living Water, and Pastor Tom went to Bible College in Okinawa, Japan. He was kind of a young 20s. So he was our young pastor, senior pastor for about 4 years. And then Billy and I kind of stepped out of our own, trying to see what the Lord wanted to do with us. And that's how we ended up here and everything. But Jerry came alongside as our prayer supporter. And the whole church prayed for us, and they still did. And you guys know when we say that we're the missionary of the month. This is Calvary Chapel. Pastor Jerry Kim, he's the senior pastor, and they're the ones that do that for us. And so Jerry's going to come and share the word this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It really is a blessing to be here with you today, as Quint shared. Quint and I have known each other for about 25 years, and we've seen the best and worst of each other, and so it's amazing that he invited me to come and share with you guys this morning. But you can turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 29 this morning, Acts chapter 29, and you know, Kim and I have been praying for the church here, for all of you, and just super blessed to finally be able to come and be here with you. We've been we've been talking to Quint and Yoli for the past at least 5 years, just, you know, trying to make plans and wanting and trying to make a way, and we're just so blessed that finally God has opened the doors for us to be able to be here with you this morning and get to meet you and see your faces and kind of get to know a little bit, you know, of those that we've been praying for so long. And as Pastor Quint was sharing, you know, for March, you guys have been, you know, our prayer as the missionary of the month. And we get to pray for the different people that God has sent out from Living Water. And so we've been praying for you, and we continue to pray for you and just count you as family, even though we don't know each other. And, you know, sometimes you have those long-lost relatives, those, you know, cousins and uncles and aunts. You don't know their names, but they're family. And it's such a blessing to be part of the body of Christ and to be family together and worship the Lord together and be in the Word together this morning. Well, this morning, the message that I'm sharing with you is something that God put upon my heart this week. And it's a different type of message than I usually teach, and probably a different type of message than you're used to hearing. And so I pray that you'll track along with me. I will be sharing a bunch of different references, and so you can write those down. We're not necessarily going to turn to everyone, but just want to give you some encouragement and exhortation from what the Lord stirred up in my heart this past week. Now, probably by now you've recognized there is no Acts chapter 29, right? You've probably tried to find it. You got there to Acts chapter 28, and then you found Romans chapter 1, right? And there's a chapter missing in the Bible, but of course it's not really missing, it's not there. And as we at Living Water have been going through the book of Acts, we, this last Wednesday, finished up chapter 28. And that's what brought me to the passage we'll look at this morning and to the subject that I'll be sharing with you. So it brings me to the title of the message this morning. And that is, what looks like the end is not the end. What looks like the end are not the end. Is not the end. It's It's so often in our lives that there is something ahead of us that it looks like all the things that we planned, they're gone. They're not going to happen. All the things that we hoped for, our hopes come just crashing down. And our hopes are dashed. The dreams that we had, they're just not going to be fulfilled. And so many times in our lives, we experience things that feel like this is the end. And whether it be the end of our marriage, or the end of this career, or the end of this ministry, or the end of this opportunity, whatever it might be, we experience things in our lives that cause us to feel like it's over, it's the end. And this morning, I really want to encourage you, the things that look like it is the end, well, in reality, there's still more that God has for you. Quince and I are friends, as I mentioned, and we've been friends for a long time. But also, I'd just like to point out before we really get started this morning, we don't actually talk very often. We're friends who don't talk. We don't talk unless there's, you know, a special occasion like this where we come into town or something like that. But I say that to share that, you know, he hasn't told me about your life. So if something kind of, you know, rings true, it's not because Quint told me, hey, Jerry, there's this guy, and he's going to be there on Sunday, and here's what he really needs to hear. That didn't happen. He didn't tell me anything about your life. I don't know anything. But I do believe that God has put some things on my heart to minister to you. And so if it rings true for you, if there's some things that maybe encourage you or maybe convict you, I would just encourage you to know that that's the Lord speaking to you. He wanted you to hear the things that he's put upon my heart this morning. Well, the book of Acts ends at chapter 28. And so it looks like the end, but it's actually not the end. The book of Acts is a record of the church, which began in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, and then continued to record, well, the expansion of the church as it went, as Jesus said, from Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's where we end in Acts chapter 28 with the gospel going all the way to Rome. But for a long time, Bible scholars have recognized that the book of Acts continues to be written by the ongoing work of us, the church. That Acts chapter 29 is really you and me, and we are continuing that work that began by the Lord there in Jerusalem. And each one of us has a place in the work of God in that way. Each one of us has a chapter to write or some verses to write, some lines to write that we contribute to the work of God that continues. And that's important to know as we consider this idea that, well, there are those times in life where we feel like it is the end. Life throws that curveball at you. And you get the news. You get the, you know, situation that unfolds and all the plans and the dreams and the hopes and even the promises that you have from God. And now you begin to wonder, maybe that wasn't a promise from God. Maybe I just heard that in my own imagination and the plans aren't going to be completed. The hopes are dashed to pieces and we begin to doubt those things that God has spoken to us. And I'd like to remind you of something this morning that Paul said from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and that is, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by sight is, you know, basing our lives on the things that we can see and taste and touch and how we feel and what we think and what we can understand. But Paul says, that's not how we're to base our life. That's not to be the criteria for how we live. Instead, we walk by faith, trusting God to work, trusting God to fulfill his promises, even when we can't see it coming to pass. And as I was going through the book of Acts on Wednesday evenings, that there at Living Water, I think Paul really may have felt like the end was back in Acts chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23, we find the Apostle Paul in prison. He's in chains. He's in Roman custody. He's gone through a couple of trials. They're not going well. And he's going to go through many more trials by trials, I don't just mean hard times, like actual legal proceedings there in a Roman court. And He has many more to go through for the next several years, but I think Paul is down and discouraged, hopes dashed, dreams crushed, wondering about the things that he thought he had heard from the Lord. In Acts chapter 23, verse 11, we have there, it records for us that the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." The Lord tells Paul, "Be of good cheer." Now, why would God tell Paul to be of good cheer? Very easily, we could understand. Paul is not of good cheer. He was discouraged. He was down. But the Lord stood by him and said, "Paul, you feel like it's over. You feel like this is the end. But I still have something more for you. You've been good and you testified in Jerusalem, but now you're going to go bear witness in Rome." And so there is Paul thinking that it's the end. And God tells him, "Hey, Paul, what looks like the end, it's not the end." Now, it's still going to feel like the end for a while for Paul. In fact, the Lord's going to appear to him and encourage him a few more times through the next several chapters as he goes through the process of being on trial in Rome to stand before Caesar Nero. There must have been many times that Paul felt like it was the end of his life, the end of his ministry, but it wasn't the end. And in Acts chapter 28, we find the Apostle Paul still in prison. He's in Roman custody in Rome. He has a house that he's able to stay in, but it's like house arrest, very limited in his ability to go and minister, and yet it's not the end. Would you look with me at Acts chapter 28, verse 30 and 31? Verse 30 says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Paul ends up in Rome, in prison, thinking perhaps that his opportunity to minister is over. But here we see Paul continues in the work that God has set for him. So it tells us he received those who came to him. He preached the kingdom of God. He taught the things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence. And it would have been very easy for Paul to think, this is it, this is the end. Especially as a missionary who's gone on 3 major mission trips and planted churches everywhere, it would be easy for him to think, what am I going to do for God confined here in this space? And yet God still had so much more for Paul. It wasn't the end. I like what Pastor Dave Guzik says about this. He says that God didn't waste Paul's time in Rome. He said, "God never wastes our time, though we may waste it by not sensing God's purpose for our lives at the moment." And I think that's really important to consider. God doesn't waste our time. Every situation that we experience, every thing that we encounter and all those curveballs that life throws at us, it's not just a waste of time. It's not just random chance. It's not just, that's just what happens in life. And God has a way of using each and every one of those occasions for the furtherance of the work of God. And we get to be part of the work of God. It's a glorious privilege we have. But Dave Guzik points out, we may waste our time. It's not a waste as far as God is concerned. He has a plan and purpose, even through the midst of the most difficult things and off-the-wall things and curious things and strange things that happen in our life. He has a way of working in those situations. Sometimes we waste our time by not seeking out God's purpose through those things that we're enduring and experiencing. So again, this morning, I want to encourage you, what looks like the end is not the end. And there's 4 points I'd like to share with you this morning to help us not to waste our time and miss the purpose of God, to help us to walk by faith and not by sight. So point number 1 this morning is receive all who come to you. Receive all who come to you. Again, looking at Acts chapter 28, verse 30, it says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Again, here we have the Apostle Paul, this great missionary who's traveled thousands of miles under much more difficult circumstances for travel than we understand today. But he has planted churches. He has gone and reached the world with the gospel. Now he's confined to one place. He might have felt like a caged animal, just stuck here in this house. He's not able to go like he used to go. So what does he do? Well, it tells us that he received all who came to him. He couldn't go like he was used to. He couldn't go the way that he wanted to, but he was able to receive the people that God brought to him. When it looked like the end, it wasn't the end. Because now Paul is going to have this opportunity of people coming to him to be ministered to. And who came to Paul? Well, if you want to later on, you can look at the rest of Acts chapter 28 and you can see that, well, the unbelieving Jews came to Paul. He invited them to come and they had a one-day conference together talking about apologetics, proving that Jesus is the Christ from the Old Testament. And it's safe to understand and assume that Paul had those ongoing interactions with the Jewish people while he was there in prison for 2 years in Rome. It's also safe to assume that there were Christians who would come visit Paul. We read there in Acts chapter 28 that as Paul's on the way, he's 100 miles away, the Christians of Rome hear about it, and they walk half the distance, 43 miles, to meet with Paul and to journey with him on the way back, even though he's in chains. And so the Christians in Rome very likely would come and visit Paul, and he would receive them and have opportunity to be blessed by them, but also to minister to them. You know, I think another good example of one whom Paul received, we find in the book of Philemon. It was a man named Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. And he had run away from his master Philemon, who Paul knew. And we don't know the details of how it happened, but somehow Onesimus and Paul encountered each other in this time where Paul was in prison. We don't know exactly how it took place, but God arranged some type of divine appointment. And Paul comes in contact with this slave Onesimus who had run away and has the opportunity to give him the gospel. Philemon chapter 1, verse 10, it tells us, as Paul's writing to his friend Philemon, he says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Paul says, I'm writing to you about this guy who ran away from you, but I have begotten him while in my chains. That is, while Paul is in chains, chained to a Roman soldier, there in his home, he had the opportunity to share the gospel with Onesimus, and Onesimus was born again. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. His soul was saved, and he received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to send him back to Philemon and say, receive him. He's a brother in the Lord now. Receive him as such. And I would suggest that Paul would say, you know, 2 years in prison is worth it for a soul to be saved, for a soul to be redeemed out of eternity separated from God. It's worth it. And so Paul received Onesimus. But you know, that's not the only people Paul received, not just the unbelieving Jews, not just the Christians, not just Onesimus. You know who else came to Paul? Maybe an unexpected source of ministry for Paul. He had an ongoing, constant flow of Roman guards who were coming to Paul because he was chained to them. And they would serve in shifts, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes 8 hours. But he was always chained to a Roman soldier. And so he had this ongoing, incoming, constant flow of Roman soldiers who would be there attached to him, a captive audience, as she would. That he had those guys who would be there to watch the ministry that was happening between Paul and whoever else would come. but also to interact with Paul. They got to hear the gospel message. They were part of the ministry that God had for Paul. And Paul writes to the Philippians and talks to them a little bit about this in Philippians chapter 1. He writes to the Philippians and he says in verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Paul writes to the Philippians and says, hey guys, I know you're discouraged about me being here in prison, and you're thinking about how hard it must be and how difficult it must be for me here in prison, but here's what I want you to know. The gospel has actually been furthered by me being here in chains. Now, you and I, we would not plan things this way, right? We wouldn't think, what's the best way to get the gospel furthered when you have someone like the Apostle Paul? Let him loose, you know? Just finance him. Just give him all the money he needs and just send him all over the world because he was an amazing evangelist and apostle. But Paul says, you know, actually, the gospel has gone further because I'm here in chains than it would if I was free to go where I please. That the result of this situation has actually been more productive for the kingdom of God than if I would have done it another way. And as an example of that, Paul says, consider the whole palace guard. All these soldiers who are chained to me, who come in day after day after day after day after day for 2 years, it's become evident to them. The gospel has been made clear to them. It has been made clear to those of the palace guard that Paul is there because of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't a hindrance to the work of God, but looked like the end. It wasn't the end. It was actually, it was the entrance to a bigger work that God wanted to do through Paul in chains in Rome. So much so that at the end of Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells the Philippians, all the saints greet you, and also those who are of Caesar's household. That there was even those who were part of the household of Caesar Nero that are now believers as a result of the ministry that Paul had there in the house receiving those who came to him. What looks like the end, even when it feels like the end in your life, even when your plans fall apart and your hopes are crushed and your dreams, they're not going to be fulfilled. Yet every situation that we face and every curveball that life throws at us, it can still be an effective time of God working in you and through you for his glory. So this morning, I want to encourage you to receive all who come to you. And let me ask you this question. Are you chained to anyone right now? Are you chained? Are you bound? Are you stuck with somebody right now? And, you know, it could be an opportunity for bitterness that you're just like, I do not want to be here chained to a Roman guard. But Paul, he sets a great model for us, an example for us. He looked at that chain, not as a shackle, that bound him, not as a thing to be bitter about. But he looked at it and understood this is an opportunity to bring the gospel. This is an opportunity to serve God. And he received those who came to him. Are you bound to anyone? Are you chained to anyone? Maybe there's a coworker, and you just wish that coworker was gone. You just wish they were out of the picture. And it would just like, it would bring you such joy if tomorrow you showed up at work and it was like, oh man, it's so great. I never have to see them again. You're chained. But what if you flipped it around? Again, God never wastes our time. But as Pastor Dave Guzik shared, we sometimes miss the purpose of God for our lives. And those that we're chained to, we get better about that. But maybe that's an opportunity for you to shine the light of Christ and share the love of Christ. Are you chained to a doctor? Maybe you got that diagnosis, that news, and you're going to be attached to this doctor for a while and have to come back quite a bit, and you don't want to, and and you'd rather not, and you wish it was another way. And yet, God has opened up the door for you to go in every week on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. or whatever, and you get to see that same person and share the love of Christ every week or every whatever your schedule is. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe there's a family member. You're stuck. You're chained right now. You wish it was different. You wish they were different, you know? You don't mind them hanging around, but you just wish they weren't the way that they were. You feel chained to that family member. And yet God would have you to look at that from a different perspective and understand, as frustrating as it is for you, God has this situation there for you to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And so you might feel chained to a spouse or maybe chained to your kids. And like, oh man, why do I got to drag these kids everywhere I go? Why do I got to, you know, why don't they grow up already? Why don't they, you know, have this settled or that taken care of? And it can easily be a thing of bitterness. But let me remind you, what looks like the end is not the end. Those chains that you feel have been strapped on you are not a restriction for the work of God in your life, but really an enabler to do a greater work for God. You will receive all who come to you. Well, the second thing I'd like to point out from the example of Paul here, point number two this morning, is find other ways to reach out. Find other ways to reach out. When you're there stuck and confined in prison like Paul was, it's not the time to just give up and just go, well, okay, I guess those plans aren't going to happen. You know, God is very creative. And you and I can be part of the work of God even in times that we would consider very limiting. What feels limited to us, what feels ineffective to us, God can use to a great degree. And so we find that when people were not coming to Paul, Paul was going to them. Not in person, because he was chained to the Roman guard. He was going to people by letter. He was writing letters there from prison. And let me just say, I think Pastor Quinn would totally agree with this. Some of the greatest passages in the whole Bible were written by Paul during this time in prison. You guys are studying one of them right now, the letter of the Ephesians. Paul wrote that letter chained to a Roman guard. He also wrote Philippians and Colossians and probably many others, but we have these few that are preserved for us by the Lord. And again, some of the greatest passages in the whole Bible, Paul was just writing a letter to this church that he knew, that he wanted to encourage, but God said, I have an even greater purpose for that. And used those letters that he wrote far beyond what Paul could have ever imagined by including them in the scriptures that we have before us. In the book of Ephesians, we have, well, passages like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. An incredible passage there in Ephesians chapter 2 with just a couple verse highlight there in verse 8 and 9 about the grace of God and about the work of salvation and how it is the gift of God and we can't earn it and we can't work for it. God has designed salvation to be that way, by grace through faith. We have in Ephesians chapter 4 that incredible passage on spiritual gifts and the body of Christ and how the body interacts and works together for the glory of God. We have in Acts chapter 5 the walk that we're called to have with Christ and in this world, as well as the order and structure that God has designed for the Christian home. In Acts chapter 6, we have that powerful passage about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God. I mean, you and I as believers, we've known these passages for a long time. These are like essential passages for us as believers that were written by Paul from prison to the church of Ephesus. Some of the greatest passages in the Bible were written by Paul during this time in prison. He also wrote a letter to the Philippians. And the dominant theme throughout the book of Philippians is joy. From prison, Paul writes a book about joy. And he models for us how to spell joy, right? If you put Jesus first, and then others second, and yourself third, well, you take the first initial there, Jesus, others, yourself, it spells out joy. You keep that order, and you have joy. Paul models that for us throughout the book of Philippians. And gives us some incredible promises to take joy in. Like Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe Paul didn't write that just to encourage the Philippians. But Paul was holding on to this promise. Lord, you began a work in me, and you're not done with me. Even chained here in prison, you're not done, and you're going to continue the work that you began. A few verses after that, Paul would go on to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Powerful passages, powerful truths that Paul wrote that were effective for generations to come, for, well, the next couple thousand years. We've all been blessed by this work that Paul did from there in prison. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives this incredible description of Jesus Christ in his humility, that he was in the form of God, but he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, and he made himself of no reputation and took the form of a bondservant, showing us that even though Jesus is God, he's equal to the Father, and yet the great humility that he demonstrated in becoming a man to serve you and I here on this earth. Incredible passage about our Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible truth that we need and is essential for us. Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us the model of not giving up, but continuing to press on. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Again, consider where Paul's at. He can't reach forward without hearing the chains clink. He knows he's in prison, but he's not finished yet. He's not giving up. And so he found other ways to reach out. He found other ways to serve God. He found other ways. It wasn't what he expected. It wasn't what he planned. It wasn't what he would have done if he was in charge. He pressed on to the things which were ahead. And then, of course, in Philippians chapter 4, we have that incredible passage. Verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. A great promise that probably you hold on to quite regularly. As you begin to be anxious, and you remember, I need to not be anxious. To lift these things up to the Lord. And that peace of God, which passes understanding, we understand, we long for that peace of God. And so we call out to him for that peace. And Paul is able to write this to the Philippians. God says, that's not just a letter for the church of Philippi, Paul. I'm going to take that. I'm going to include that in the Word of God. I'm going to publish that worldwide for millions of people to read and be blessed by. And it will be an ongoing work of God through this letter that Paul writes to them. Again, some of the greatest passages in the Bible were written by Paul during this time in prison. One last example, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Paul tells us there about Jesus, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And this incredible truth, this essential truth of Christianity, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that he is the representation of God, the manifestation of God, that he is God who became man, and yet he is the creator of all things created through him and for him. I mean, this is, you could spend months considering some of the truths that Paul writes here in Colossians chapter 1. In chapter 2, he tells us that in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Again, speaking to the deity of Jesus Christ. Powerful truth packed into this letter to one church at Colossae that Paul wrote to because he couldn't go there himself. He would have loved to go see the people and have a conversation with them and share these truths with them, but he couldn't go. So he found another way to reach out to them. God has used these letters to minister to more people than Paul could ever have imagined. So again, I say that what looks like the end is not the end. Even when it feels like the end, all the plans are falling apart and the hopes are crushed and the dreams, they're not going to be fulfilled. And yet, God can use that time to do an incredible work far beyond your imagination. So don't give up when life throws you the curveballs. Find other ways to reach out. You know, we live in incredible times for connecting to people. And we don't have to write a letter and have someone, you know, physically receive it and then walk 2,000 miles to go give that letter to the church. You know, we can connect to people instantly, abundantly, readily. And that's just one example. But again, just to make the point, there's other ways to reach out. Even when you're stuck, you can be part of the work of God. You can continue the work that God began with the book of Acts and contribute your part to Acts chapter 29, even if you are stuck in prison, or stuck in bed, or stuck in that job, or stuck at home, or stuck in a wheelchair. This year marks the 50th year for Joni Erickson Tada being in a wheelchair. I don't know if you know her at all, but incredible ministry that she has, but it began with tragedy. As she is a young girl, a teenager, I think she was 18 years older, right around there, dove into the water and broke her back, broke her neck, and has been paralyzed from the neck down ever since. And I'm sure at that time it felt like the end. Her life was over. With all the college plans that she had, that was going to come. The athletic plans that she had, the family plans that she had, the hopes and dreams that she had, what she had thought and laid out for her life, that was not, her life was now going to be radically different. Her plans fell apart and her hopes were crushed and her dreams, they were not going to be fulfilled. And yet, 50 years later, she's able to say, I thank God for what he did. And there's an incredible ministry in these past 50 years. She has been able to be part of the work of the kingdom of God to an incredible degree. God is very creative. He can be part, or we can be part of his work, even in those times that we think are so limiting. And those things which feel so ineffective to us. We're like, why even bother? Because I'm just going to a letter, you know, I'm going to send a text message. Like, it's like, what really good is that going to do? And yet God can use that to do things that you can't even understand or imagine. So what looks like the end is not the end. Find other ways to reach out. God doesn't waste our time, but sometimes we miss the purpose. We waste our own time. We miss out on the work that God wants to do in us and through us. Well, point number three this morning, as we're in those times where it looks like the end, it feels like the end, but it's not the end. And we can continue in the work of God by developing our prayer life. Develop your prayer life. You know, as I was looking over these letters that Paul wrote from prison this past week, I found something interesting. Paul, his, I would say, most noteworthy prayers in all of his writings are found in these prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Paul always talked about prayer. In all of his letters, he always tells the people he's writing to, I'm praying for you constantly and continually. He did that regularly. But in these letters, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Paul actually wrote out parts of his prayer. This is what I'm praying for you, he says. And you can check those out later. We don't have time to go through all of these today. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we have a prayer that Paul prays in verses 15 through 21. And he spells out, I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you would know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And well, you guys have studied this prayer recently, so you're familiar with it. It's an incredible prayer that Paul gives to the Lord for the Ephesians. Then in Ephesians chapter 3, it says in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it goes on, and you recently went through this on Wednesday evenings. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Incredible example. If you want to, if you're kind of stuck and you're like, man, I really don't know how to pray for people, these are some awesome prayers to study. And you can take these prayers and just turn them around and pray for your husband. You can pray for your wife. You can pray for your kids. You can pray for your grandkids. You can pray for Clovis. These prayers are awesome prayers for whoever you need. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul records there his prayer for the Philippians. He says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I mean, what a great prayer. Don't you know people who need knowledge and discernment? No, you see the decisions that are being made and they're just like, you know, why? Why won't you listen to the counsel I'm giving? But even when they won't listen, you can pray. Love would abound more and more, but that they would also have knowledge and discernment. That they would understand the things that are excellent. Don't you see? I mean, have you ever said that to somebody? Like, don't you see this isn't good? You don't know how to recognize the things that are excellent. But Paul prayed for the Philippians. They would approve the things that are excellent. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, we have Paul's prayer there for the church at Colossae. Again, spelled out for us, written out for us in great detail, the things that Paul was praying for them. Incredible prayers. Paul here is confined to prison. He could not go to Philippi. He could not go to Colossae. He could not go to Ephesus. He could write to them, so he sent the letter and encouraged them. He found a different way to reach out. But also in his prayers, he was able to be part of the work of God in the lives of the people there. And that is a reality for us. Pastor Chuck always described prayer as long-range artillery, that even from a great distance away, we can be part of the battle. We can be part of the work that God is doing. I thought Clint was telling me to wind the service down right now because he's like this. But he was doing the long-range artillery. I thought he was telling me to land the plane. But no, we got time. Okay. But long-range artillery, from a great distance away, we can be part of the spiritual battle that is going on. We can have a big impact in the work of God. I would ask you to consider what Paul wrote to the Romans. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, Paul writes to the Romans. This is long before he ever actually got to Rome. But he writes to them and says, I want to go visit you guys, so here's my introduction and the greatest, you know, gospel presentation in the New Testament. I'm writing that to you. But then in chapter 15, he's kind of wrapping up the letter and he says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Check out what Paul says there to the church at Rome that he's never met. They don't even know each other. But he says, guys, I really need your prayers. Now, if Paul is begging for prayer, I mean, the Apostle Paul, if he needed prayer, we need to understand Pastor Quint really needs prayer, right? And the people sitting next to you need prayer. If the Apostle Paul needs prayer, it's a reminder, we all need prayer. It's an important part. It's an important tool that God has given to us. And Paul says, please join with me. He says, strive together with me in prayers to God. that you have an opportunity to be part of the work of God by prayer. It's not just fanciful thoughts and ideas that we have as Christians, but it's a reality. It's a part of the work of God that in prayer we get to join in the battle. We get to strive together. And again, you know, we've been striving together with you guys, whether you understand it or feel it or sense it or not, but back at Living Water, we're joining together in the work with you by praying to God for you. In those times that feel like the end for you, when the plans fall apart and the hopes are crushed and limitations are just abundant and you can't do what you wanted to do or thought you would do, or things just took a completely different turn than you expected, you could still be effective in the kingdom of God. Maybe you were thinking you wanted to be there in person to talk to that family member, to have that conversation, to be that encouragement, to bring the rebuke. You thought you could be there and it would be so much more effective, and circumstances that you're in right now prevent that. God would say, look, your opportunity is not gone. You can still be part of that work. You can still have a great impact in the kingdom of God. Develop your prayer life. Learn how to pray. It doesn't always feel very effective. But again, let me remind you, we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not about how we feel about that prayer and how well it went. It's trusting God that as we're obedient to Him and calling upon Him, that He will hear. Well, finishing it up with the fourth point this morning, point number four is continue the work of God. Continue the work of God. In verse 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 28, when you read that again, it says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Paul continued the work of God. He didn't let the discouraging situation, the shipwreck, you know, and all the trials that he experienced going up to Rome, and then being in prison in Rome, and then that taking a long time. He's there for 2 years. He didn't let that be, well, the indication that he should just give up and quit and not press forward in the work of God. He continued. He received those who came. He preached the kingdom of God. He taught the things which concern the Lord Jesus. He continued boldly in the same activities that, well, caused him to be there in chains at that time. Prior to this, Paul had desired greatly to minister in Rome. And he wrote to the Romans, said, I want to go, I'm trying to go, I've tried a bunch of times to go. And he got there, not the way that he planned, but it was the way that God planned. And I think that's so important for us to understand that. Again, the main thing I want to convey this morning is don't give up. Don't let those circumstances, don't let that curveball, don't let that situation cause you to just throw in the towel and why bother, and it's over now and it's not going to happen. You still have much to contribute to the work of God. You still have so much opportunity that you don't even recognize at this point. And God still is going to fulfill His promises. And you know, He might even fulfill those hopes and dreams that you think there's just no possible way anymore. Because you know what happened after Acts chapter 28? Luke doesn't record for us what happens next. But we have from, well, some early church historians, the indication that Paul was released, that he appears before Caesar after these 2 years, just like God told him he would. But because he was innocent of all charges, there was no real crime that he had committed. He was released. And after that, he goes on one final missionary journey. And there's possible evidence that he made it to Spain. Now, Paul really wanted to get to Rome, but he also wanted to get to Spain. He was planning, he was hoping, he was dreaming about bringing the gospel where no one else had brought the gospel yet. So he had his eyes on Spain. That was a great distance for them. they're chained to a Roman guard, it would have been easy to think, well, that dream is gone, that hope is gone. And yet, there's some indication, after Paul is released, he made it. God gave him that desire of his heart. He brought the gospel to Spain. Even some suggest that he made it as far as Britain. But not only that, not only did he go to those places that had never been gone to before, but there's also indication that he came back into the Mediterranean, went to the island of Crete. There he left Titus to minister in Crete. He went back to Ephesus, one of his places where he had ministered for a long time. He left Timothy in Ephesus. He went back to Macedonia, where Philippi was and Thessalonica was, and went back and ministered to those churches that he had been ministering to before that. Perhaps he thought he would never be able to see again, and yet God gave him one last opportunity. He took one last trip. He got to go fulfill his dreams, bring the gospel to where it wasn't, revisit those that he knew. Paul is tenacious. He persevered. He didn't give up. And he kept pushing to serve God. And I would ask you to consider the timeline of Paul's letters. If you look at the timeline of Paul's letters, here's a quick chart on the screen. There you go. Here's a quick look at Paul in his conversion, probably around 36 AD, and then into his, well, he was probably beheaded around 68 AD. He went on three missionary journeys and wrote some letters. But if you look at the letters, he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Galatians first. Then he wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans on his third missionary journey. But then from prison and after prison, Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. 7 out of the 13 letters that Paul wrote that we have recorded in the Word of God, more than half of Paul's contribution to the Word of God was done after it would have been easy for him to think it's all over. Here I am in prison. What am I going to do from here? It would have been easy. Any of us, I think if I was there, I would not be writing letters and, you know, doing doctrinal theses and, you know, but Paul here, he didn't give up. He continued the work of God. And, well, more than half of his contribution into the Word of God, which has made a huge impact to the world, was done after the point where we would have said, all hope is lost. After the point where we would have been easy to give up. It wasn't over. It wasn't done. So we find him at the end of Acts chapter 28, there in prison, but it's not the end. It looks like the end, but it's not the end. God is continuing the work that he began in the church. The commentator Alexander McLaren says, Luke has left plenty of blank paper at the end of his second treatise, on which he meant succeeding generations should write their partial contributions to the completed work. That's you and I. We write our lines in the book of Acts. We contribute to the work of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God has set the members of the body just as he pleased. And the members of the body that we think are necessary, that seem to be weaker, because those are necessary. And sometimes we're the ones who are doing that judgment saying, well, my part seems to be weaker. You know, but what good is my part? And we give up on ourselves. We give up on serving God and working for God and contributing to the kingdom of God. But God says, no, you're missing the point. You feel like your part is so weak. Your part is so necessary. What feels like the end is not the end. And there are many times that we feel like it's the end. As those curveballs come in, those plans come just, you know, come crashing down, those hopes are crushed, and those dreams are not going to be fulfilled. We feel like it's the end, but it's not the end. There can still be an effective time of God working in you and through you. I'd like to finish with the very last slide, again, the quote from Dave Cusick. God didn't waste Paul's time in Rome. God never wastes our time, though we may waste it by not sensing God's purpose for our lives at the moment. I want to encourage you this morning to consider God's purpose. And to recognize the situations that you're in, the circumstances that you're in, it's not just random happenstance. It's part of even the things that you feel are constricting and binding, you know, those chains and those afflictions and those difficulties, God can turn that around. It feels like the end. It looks like the end. But it's not the end. God has so much more He wants to do in you and through you. Don't lose sight of His goodness, of His heart. Receive all who come to you. Find other ways to reach out. Develop your prayer life. And by all means, continue the word. Amen. Kim's going to come up and close us in worship. And as she gets ready, let's pray. Lord, I lift up Calvary Chapel Clovis to you. I lift up each one of those who are here this morning and those, Lord, who are not able to be here with us this morning, but you've called them to be a part of this fellowship and this body. Lord, I pray for this fellowship. I pray for this work that you're doing here. And I pray that the hearts of these members would be encouraged by the example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, that you would renew and stir up within them that great fervency and desire and passion to be part of the work that you want. Lord, we go through some incredibly painful and difficult times in this life. And it is difficult, it is hard, and yet, God, we're so thankful that we can come to you and you can turn what seems to be evil, what seems to be terrible, into something glorious. So, God, I pray you would help each of us to not walk by sight, to not walk and make all of our decisions and all that we do based upon what we see, what we think, how we feel. Help us to walk by faith, to really trust you, knowing that you are on the throne, that you can work all things together for good, and that you will finish the work that you began in us. Help us, God, to trust you, to seek out and find those opportunities. You want to use our situation and our circumstances and us in the midst of great weakness to do something incredible for your glory. Thank you, God, for that opportunity. Thank you for your love and your care. Help us, Lord, to walk with you and fulfill your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's worship the Lord together.
Take my heart, make it whole. Take my life, make it new. Take my mind, make it new. Shake my eyes, and all that I am, I surrender. Jesus, your love is great.
Treasure, my all is yours.
Jesus, your love is greater than all of the earth and its treasures. My all is yours, is yours. Blessed indeed.
Thank you, Jerry, for a great word. I don't know about you guys. I absolutely hate wasting time. I'm a psycho when it comes to wasting time. It comes from being a framing contractor. Time is money. I'm so glad to know God doesn't waste time. So I can go, hey, thank you, Lord. Because I feel like I'm wasting time so many times, but God doesn't. It's awesome. Finding ways to reach out. Hey, if you're missing on Facebook, welcome. Like it. Share it. We have like three or four guys listening. Stan was listening. Hi, Stan. Can't see you, but he wasn't able to be here. He's able to be here to listen in. So, again, lots of practical ways to serve the Lord and prayer, developing your prayer life tonight at 6 o'clock. Guys, we're going to get into the Word. Awesome passage. Psalm 110 talks about the coming Messiah. Oh, boy. And we're going to pray. So, there's one right there, okay? This, you know, continue to work about all those great points, right? And of course, when Jerry got to the beheading part, I didn't like that part very much. Amen. So, can you pray?